Chapter 26. The next day, Lexi stood in the front room of the Cup and Cake, eyeing the plate of meringue cookies nervously. She was supposed to be working on perfecting her recipe for the dessert contest, but instead, she was waiting for Nans to pick her up for the trip to the police station. With a sigh, she poured some hot water into a mug and dunked a chamomile tea pouch into the steaming water. It had been a harrowing morning. Ruth, Ida, and Helen had marched in with their noses still out of joint about missing the meeting at the police station the day before. They couldn't understand why Davies hadn't invited them. It had taken Lexi 2 hours and over a dozen pastries to soothe their ruffled feathers, and they'd finally calmed down while Lexi filled them in on the exact details of the meeting. They'd been shocked to find out the real truth, and even more shocked to hear Lexi say she thought Violet wasn't all that bad. "Not that bad?" Ida's blue eyes looked like a storm at sea. "You just wait and see. I wouldn't trust her. You'll find out tomorrow at the dessert contest." The three women had bustled out to go to their hair appointments, leaving Lexi on her own. She tapped her finger impatiently against her teacup and worried what Violet might do at the dessert contest as she waited for Nans. A blur of red whipped around the corner, and Lexi's eyes grew wide as Violet Switzer's Mustang squealed to a stop in front of the bakery. The passenger door opened, and Nans gingerly stepped out and opened the bakery door, her gaze scanning the room and then stopping at the stunned Lexi, still rooted in her chair. "Oh, hi, Lexi," Nans gestured toward the door. "Are you ready?"
"We're going with Violet?"
"Yes, dear. Violet helped me out. I think we have just what Binder wants."
Nans winked and held the door open, gesturing for Lexi to get a move on.
"What is it?"
Lexi put her teacup in the dirty cup bin and walked toward the door.
"Oh, now, I don't want to spoil the surprise."
Lexi narrowed her eyes at Nans and then called to Cassie over her shoulder.
"Cassie, I'm taking off."
"Okay, good luck, Mona."
Cassie's voice rang out from the back room.
"Thanks,"
Nans yelled back as she ushered Lexi outside and into the back seat of the Mustang. Lexi settled into the soft leather and looked up to see Violet angling the rearview mirror to look at her. Lexi stared into her piercing blue eyes. Not twinkling blue like Nan's were, though. Violet's eyes were still and dark like a shark. Violet smiled, but the corners of her eyes didn't crinkle.
"I just wanted to tell you. I think if you use a little bit more cream of tartar in your meringue cookies, you might have a good chance of winning the contest."
Then she snapped the mirror back up, cut her eyes to the road, gunned the Mustang out of its parking spot, and sped off toward the police station. Violet had a lead foot, and Lexi felt nauseous by the time they arrived. She wasn't sure if it was Violet's speed racer driving, the fact that she'd gotten advice from her on baking, or the anticipation of what might happen if Binder didn't buy into Nan's evidence. Patty, Mary, Ron, Esther, and Floyd were waiting for them in the lobby, and Davies brought them to the same room they'd been in the day before. Binder was sitting at the head of the table, eyeing them curiously as they marched in and took their seats.
"So, did you find something for me?"
Binder asked.
Nans produced a brown paper shopping bag and handed it to him.
"I believe what you need is in here."
Binder peered inside, his brows knit together. He reached in and pulled something out. Lexi's stomach tightened when she recognized the red flip-flop that had been in her garage. Binder set it on the table, then pulled out another item, a black wig.
I don't get it. How will these help me?
He asked. Nans looked at the others for encouragement, and they nodded at her.
I told a little lie yesterday,
Nans started. Minder's left brow ticked up.
Just one?
Nans grimaced.
Well, you see, it was very confusing the night Earl died. Everything happened so fast. And it did happen the way I told you, except I left one thing out.
Go on, Minder prompted.
After we dragged Earl into the basement and did some cover-up, we all went back to our houses. The sun was coming up, and we didn't want neighbors who were leaving for work early to see us.
Binder made circling motions with his finger. And? He drew the word out into several syllables.
Well, I was walking through the McDonald's backyard to my house when I heard something behind me. We didn't have the fence up in those days, so our backyards were one big grassy area. Anyway, I turned to see what the noise was, and it was the stranger. He had that red flip-flop, and I recognized it as Earl's. I didn't know who he was or what he wanted with it, but I knew I didn't want him to have it. I was afraid he was some kind of blackmailer and would use it against us. So I launched myself at him and wrestled him for it.
Nan's face flushed.
I'm embarrassed to admit I was a bit of a dirty fighter back in the day, and I kicked and scratched, and I might even have punched him in a place where men don't like to be punched. Anyway, he let go of the shoe, and in the struggle, his wig came off. Then he ran away, and I never saw him again.
So you fought with this stranger, and then you never told your accomplices?
Binder said, pointing to the others.
No, I didn't want them to get upset if they knew someone had witnessed what we had done.
And you kept the shoe and wig all this time?
Nans nodded.
I hid them in my garage. Well, it's Lexi's garage now. I sold my house to her.
Lexi's stomach dropped. She hadn't seen any wig in the garage with the red flip-flop. Had it been there the whole time? Or had Nans gotten it from someone else?
Binder poked at the flip-flop with his pencil.
Well, this definitely looks like Earl's missing flip-flop.
Maybe Blowgun Benny had it after he cut off Earl's toe,
Patty suggested.
Maybe,
Binder said.
He was wearing the wig.
Nans pointed at the wig.
It could have DNA evidence that might help you identify who he was.
Right, if this person actually was Blowgun Benny.
Binder sounded skeptical.
I can't imagine who else it could have been,
Nans said.
I mean, who else would be out there with Earl's flip-flop other than the assassin?
Binder nodded.
You have a point. I'll get these to the lab for DNA testing.
And if it helps you find the assassin's identity, will we get off on probation?
Mary asked hopefully.
Binder narrowed his eyes. I'll do what I can. I'll put a rush on this. In the meantime, you people can go. But don't go far. You're not in the clear by any stretch of the imagination. And we still have the little matter of moving a body and tampering with evidence to settle.
After Binder dismissed them, the group went their separate ways. Violet dropped Lexi off at the bakery, where she tried to remain focused on perfecting the meringues recipe for the contest the next day. 3 hours into it, she was staring at her last bowl of meringue batter. She'd fiddled with the amount of vanilla extract and added just a quarter teaspoon more sugar. The addition of the sugar made her nervous, but pretty much everyone had said they needed more. Besides, Could there ever be such a thing as a dessert that was too sweet? She grabbed the piping bag. Then her eye fell on the cream of tartar. Violet's advice echoed in her head. She reluctantly added a pinch, then beat the batter until it was shiny. Finally, she folded in some miniature chocolate chips and chopped pecans, then filled the piping bag and pushed the batter out into perfectly peaked cookies, which she slid gently into the oven. Setting the timer, she went out front to check the bakery cases and was just moving some fig squares to the top shelf when the door burst open and Nance came through, waving a paper in her hand.
"It's over," Nance yelled, her face flushed with excitement. "We helped the feds solve the case."
"You did?" Lexi's brows dipped together. "You mean the evidence you gave Binder really panned out?"
"Yep. And he talked to Judge Hastings, who is going to give us all community service and no jail time. I need a double chocolate frosted brownie to celebrate."
Relief flooded through Lexi as she picked the largest brownie from the case and handed it to Nance.
"Thanks."
Nance grabbed the brownie and turned to leave. "Wait a minute." Lexi was relieved that Nance and her neighbors weren't going to jail. But even if the feds were satisfied with the evidence they got, Lexi still had a lot of unanswered questions. Not the least of which was how Nance trumped up evidence ended in them finding the real assassin. "I don't understand. How did you manage to get that wig from the assassin? Did you really see him that night?" Nance stopped and took a step back toward Lexi. She leaned across the bakery case and whispered in Lexi's ear,
"I never said the wig was from the actual assassin. Does it really matter? The DNA was from a deceased party who could be the assassin, and the murder was decades ago. As long as an innocent person doesn't go to jail for it, I think that's all that matters at this point, don't you?"
"I guess so," Lexi said. "But where did you get a wig from a deceased assassin?" But Nance had already turned and had made it to the door with record speed.
"Sorry, I can't stay. I gotta give the others the good news."
And with that, she was out the door and hopping into Violet's red Mustang. With a shrug, Lexi turned back to the bakery case. Nance was right. After all this time, it didn't really matter if they caught the assassin. What mattered was that Nance and her neighbors weren't going to jail, and the case was closed. Now, Lexi could focus on winning the dessert contest. After all, she had more important things to do than find out the identity of the real assassin.